Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Kane Cooperman, who produced The New Yorker Presents, the new TV series based on the famed magazine.
Hi Jenna, it's Kahani.
Hey Kahani, so great to talk to you.
You too. Thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, I love the show. I'm so excited about it. It just seems like it's going to blow everyone's minds. I think it's such...
Oh my gosh, that's so nice of you to say. It's been an amazing... incredible experience putting it together. I'm so excited.
Such a great idea for a show. Has this been something that's been in the works for a while? Because as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, of course. It's like,
I know. I feel the same way. I'm like, why didn't someone do this before? It's a little hard for me to speak to the, history of it, just because I got brought on after the pilot. But I think that, Condé Nast, which owns The New Yorker, has a division, Condé Nast Entertainment, that looks at all of their magazines, and it occurred to them that The New Yorker had so many great stories, wouldn't it be great to visualize them? So I think they approached Amazon, and then at the same time, Alex Gibney's Jigsaw Productions, and somehow the magic happened, I think, and The New Yorker was, very excited by the idea of working with everyone, but especially Alex Gibney, and so a pilot was born. I cannot take any credit for that pilot, but it was received well, and so luckily for me, Amazon ordered up a 10 episode series, and so I was hired to run that series.
And what's that like when you come, day one of the job started, you're on the job, what do you have to manage? How do you, what's your process?
There are so many moving parts on this. I come from The Daily Show. That's my background.
Yeah.
I started out there in the field department. So I which always had multiple productions going on at once and at various stages of production. So I kind of, took somewhat of a cue from that, but had to exponentially multiply it because we were having in-house productions and out-of-house productions because, we take stories from The New Yorker and turn them into short films all made by acclaimed filmmakers and varying different filmmakers. So over the course of really just a few months, we created more than 50 short films. And the other, thing that I had to keep my eye on was just keeping everything at the same standard of quality and integrity that The New Yorker itself does, because we needed to do justice to that incredible magazine.
Do you feel like when you're doing the different narrative pieces, like you have poetry, you have the cartoons, you have some animation sometimes. Is that hard to juggle? Like, oh, I'm going to become an expert now in this kind of format. Like, how does that work
That's a great question. I come from a filmmaking background, and a storytelling background. So I approach everything, whether it's, a cartoon or a 1 minute interstitial or a 5 minute short film or a 15 minute short film, a narrative or a nonfiction film. I just look at it all as storytelling and poetry as well. And it's like, how do you, it's a visual medium. So I'm just always asking myself, how do you best communicate, the essence of this story or this moment visually? And so when you look at it that way, it's easy to switch gears to whether it's, an animated poem or a cartoonist bringing a cartoon to life or a look inside behind the scenes at The New Yorker or, a film about, how 9/11 could have been prevented or, a quirkier sort of talk of the town type film, such as, I'm not sure that you've actually... which episodes you've seen, but I could name a million of them.
Is it
some of our shorts are quirkier, portraits of subcultures. Like there's an organization known as SPY. It's Society of Professional Investigators, and they meet in an Italian restaurant downtown in New York once a month, and they all swap stories, and there are these amazing characters, and that was just a small article. Yeah, and then we made a film out of that. So it's just, you just, I'm switching gears all the time.
How do you get...
I don't know if I answered your question, but it was a really good question.
No, you did. And you know, I guess it's like you just having so much experience and going with your gut is really what, you know, makes you the right person to manage all this content. Because just looking at it myself, I was like, whoa, it's a lot to bring in.
Yeah, it's a whoa situation. Because also there's a lot of, you know, as the showrunner, I am happily in the middle of a lot of entities that care passionately about this. So... And, you know, there's Amazon, Jigsaw, Condé Nast Entertainment, and The New Yorker, and all the filmmakers whose visions we very much want to respect. So, and then there's also my own gut feeling about every single, you know, moment of the episode. So,
yeah.
It's a big, very fascinating, interesting, ongoing conversation that's going on the whole time with everybody. And it's just an amazing thing.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. I can't wait to just watch the whole.
I'm so glad you like it so much.
I did. It's exactly the kind of thing. I mean, and that's what's so great about The New Yorker. It really captures New York. And if you've lived there, I mean, I only lived there for 6 months, but I still feel like I had like part of my body is a New Yorker. So watching it, I was like, aww. Oh, I want to be back there. It just is, it really can speak to so many people. It just has this vibe and tone of the city. And I think that's what's
so
great.
I'm so happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, because, a magazine too.
Well, because one of my thoughts was, you know, one of the challenges was that we were creating a series that where every episode would be made up of multiple short films that are very different from each other in subject and tone and style. And I needed to, you know, think about how do they need, even though they're so different and no one episode will be alike, they need to feel like they're from the same universe. So what's that universe? And to me, that universe is what you're talking about. I decided, like, well, the universe is The New Yorker itself, because that's where they all started. And then The New Yorker is an icon of the city. So that gives me license to sort of capture these little moments that are going on around the city, you know, at any time of day. And it's a little bit of the idea.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, that there's something going on behind every door, behind every window, and, you know, whether it's a 1 minute interstitial in a Harlem hat shop or a, you know, 15 minute film exploring youth bull riding, it's all just windows into different realities that are going on all at the same time around us. You know, so
cool. That's exactly how I felt watching it. And
oh, good.
Where do you get the, you know, how do you get pitched? Is this, do the editors of the magazine say, hey, this is interesting? Or do you reach out to your own contacts? Or how do you, it's a wide net.
It's a combination of things, but we curate in-house. So like myself and supervising producer Jack Leshner did a lot of the curating, but there was also a lot of curating done even before we came on board when... by Jigsaw Productions, by David Remnick, the editor of The New Yorker. And along the way, as we sort of refined it and refined our list, and because we wanted to make sure that we had stories that represented a wide range of ideas and voices and you know, topics. And but also, we, you know, my thought was I want to create a menu that these filmmakers can choose from, because I want them to do a film that's something that particularly excites them. And so when we were working with our outside filmmakers and they would get this menu, if there wasn't something on there that immediately struck them, they were welcome to either ask us for some other ideas or let us know if they had read something in The New Yorker that they were really interested in. We were happy to consider it. So it was, you know, very, very cool. But the curation was an ongoing process. And also we have to license every story individually. So that also has to get factored in. Too. You know, some things have already been optioned for films or optioned for a miniseries. Mm-hmm. So couldn't do those, you know? So it wasn't like we could do every single story we wanted to do.
Gotcha.
But there's, we have all the way back to when the New Yorker first started in 1925 to choose from.
So, oh, amazing.
We won't be running out anytime soon.
I bet not. So what is it like to work with Amazon, just for, you know, somebody out there who it seems like this year or last year, really the digital space is just blowing up. How is that different from like working with Comedy Central or a cable channel? What is the experience the same? It's sort of just like, oh, these are the same people who are working over here,
you know,
or is it different?
I have the privilege of working on The Daily Show with Comedy Central for more than 18 years. It was a 12-week job that just unexpectedly turned into like a huge chapter of my life, and it was amazing. We worked with a network, Comedy Central, that, you know, because we worked together for so long, a great trust grew between us and them, and it never really felt like us and them anyway, but, you know, we did, it was a cable network, and there's advertisers, and all of that stuff has to be part of it, whereas, you know, Amazon's been great. They've been incredibly supportive, and one of the coolest things that I've been hearing out of the gate was being told to like take risks, and that is, you know, really I don't know, invigorating to have that be the main note you are getting from the network. Is to like push it, you know they're interested in having provocative things that provoke conversation and discussion and risk taking, and it's just, you know, very, very exciting.
That is so cool. And to be on The Daily Show for so long and then to sort of switch to this, how has that like changed your perspective just as a filmmaker, a storyteller, to do something just so different? Or is it that different? Is it sort of like
the same? In a way, it feels like I kind of see, like, even storytelling is everywhere, and it's in every aspect, and it's all over, really, all over The Daily Show. I mean, even a joke has a beginning, middle, and end, you know? And so there's storytelling is everywhere. That being said, I got hired there because of my filmmaking background, specifically documentary background, and I missed it while I was there. So when this, opportunity came my way, I seized it because I had been ready to stretch those goals again. And it just seemed like such an incredibly great idea and could be amazing. And so it was like, and I was ready. Who wouldn't be after 18 years?
Oh, my gosh.
But it feels more like I'm almost going back to my roots, not that I've, moved into, like, a whole new venture. It feels like I got back on a bicycle again or something.
That is so great.
Great. Yeah, oh, so great.
Well,
great team, great collaborators. It's just been very exciting, really hard. I mean, it's a beast of a show, but really wonderful.
Well, you can tell the quality is so high. I was like, whoa, this is a lot. I mean, I just can feel it.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. I can't wait.
You made my day.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's so obvious when you start watching it. And even the graphics of the opening,
aren't they beautiful?
I'm blanking on the word. What do you call that? Like
the opening title sequence,
right. It's just, I love how it zooms in. I just thought it looked so different, and it really captures, because, you know, the magazine is such a look. And
and note about the opening title sequence. Yeah. It's like, I thought it would be really nice if the title sequence for every episode ended on a different image.
Yeah.
So, just like The New Yorker has a different cover every week, and you look forward to, like, what's it going to be? And sometimes they're topical, and sometimes they're seasonal, and sometimes they're whimsical, but you just never know what it's going to be and in what style or anything. So our graphic open is the same up until like the last few frames, and the title treatment always settles on like a different type of screen for you to see on, kind of like not just in that, you know, a nod to the magazine, which has a different cover every week, but also to like the way The Simpsons, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of thought of that. Like, you never know what Bart's going to write on the board, and you never know how they're going to get to their couch to watch TV. So,
so cool.
I thought to have that little.
That is such a great idea. I love
it's
that.
It's on for 2 seconds, like, you know, at the most.
People look forward to that. I think it's something that you start to notice and you look forward to it. Well, thank you so much. It was so great talking to you. I hope we get to chat again.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you as well.
Yeah, take care. And I can't wait to see more episodes.
You too, Jenna. All the best.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.